Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Time now to talk about another business that also released its results today. But despite the fact that the numbers were not very impressive and that took a knock on the back of macroeconomic conditions, return on equity being down by 14%, its diluted headline earnings weaker by 5%, essentially showing a weakness in profit that's been reported. The banking group that is APSA also came out with bigger news today that its CEO, Ari Reutenbach, is essentially going to take early retirement and settle on that package in the next 3 months, leaving and vacating office on the 15th of October. We thought we'd take a double take on this particular story. Number one, looking at the high level of churn in leadership positions at APSA and the concerns that this typically raises around the strategy, the direction and the focus of the business. And of course, we'll get some perspective on the labor themes that we need to be mindful of quote unquote, gardening leave. Two people are joining us for this conversation, but we'll start off with the financial aspect, the institutional integrity and concerns around the numbers. That is Kaya Sithole, independent analyst and chartered accountant, joining us today to unpack the numbers. Later, we'll be joined by Boniwe Dunster, who's a human resource executive, to help us unpack some of the complexities and terminology and technicalities that are often implemented when major leadership positions see a shakeup. Jobe, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Good evening and good evening to the listeners.
Always good to start with. Let's start, I guess, with first things first. The resignation or retirement, quote unquote, of the CEO, Ari Reutenbach, overriding the news headlines, I guess, in terms of the numbers when it comes to APSA. This, again, shows a heightened level of concern, right, against around the high level of churn in the leadership position here.
And I think it's now become a crisis for APSA because obviously the fact that they cannot seem to find stability in their leadership team means that a lot of people are going to be asking difficult questions about how, again, it keeps going wrong so soon. And obviously, if you remember how even Ari Reutenbach's position came to be, you know, was on the back of another very highly publicized and toxic fallout with the previous CEO, who had also been arrived after having to spend a lot of time waiting for his job to become, you know, available because of his previous positions at the South African Reserve Bank. Mm-hmm. So it seems that they've got a big problem when it comes to succession planning. And once they have found someone, then there's a problem of culture fit and strategy alignment that they just don't seem to have mastered. And it's really quite concerning. And I think everybody who obviously keeps an interest in these matters is going to have to concede that APSA somehow keeps getting it wrong. And it is remarkable how they keep getting it wrong so far.
Much of the comments we've been hearing from members of the investment community also stem around transformation and a frustration that perhaps hasn't been reflected by APSA. Is this significant in terms of the strategy going forward?
It is definitely significant because obviously APSA, like every other one of its peers, has to be able to balance that need to be competitive and also to be able to find the right leadership mix of the people that are going to move it forward. And it being a South African entity, it has to specifically pay particular attention to how it really champions transformation. And obviously, because there's been so much instability at the top, it kind of becomes a moot point to ask who's going to be in charge, because, you know, whoever comes in is probably not going to last. So you firstly have to be able to define the roadmap of what leadership and succession in the plan, and then the plan for that looks like within the bank, and then figure out how they incorporate the transformation dimension and make sure that they achieve substantive transformation. And obviously, because right now no one seems to be in the job long enough, it becomes a bit difficult to hold anyone accountable because, well, if you thought Ari was the person who had a strategy for transformation, well, he's no longer there. Mm-hmm. Now we have to start re-engaging with whoever emerges and ask them what their understanding of it, how they embrace it, and how they plan on implementing it. It's remarkably frustrating, as you can imagine.
And maybe let's talk about their strategy, right? Because ultimately, this is one of the biggest lenders, or used to be one of the most significant lenders, especially when it came to its home loan book. Looking at the numbers, operating expenses increasing by more than 8%, revenue quite marginal in terms of growth at 3% there, 53 billion rand, and profits under pressure in terms of the headline earnings per share. Give us some context as to what the strategy would entail to make sure that APSA is competitive by giving us your analysis of the numbers and its performance so far.
Well, I think if you look at the landscape of the banks in South Africa, obviously you've got the big six well established. You've got FirstRand being the market leader. And what all of these other banks need to be able to identify is which part of the ecosystem they feel they can excel in. If you speak to Capitec, you get a very clear and a very definitive answer of what they're trying to be and how they're going to get there. And I think some of the more established banks have either struggled to be as agile as a new player like Capitec needs to be, or to be able to entrench their market share in a manner that a company like FirstRand has done. We do know that, unfortunately, Absa has had this terrible history of had an owner who was obviously in charge of a particular strategy direction. That owner in the form of Barclays then exited, which means that Absa has now had to figure out how to go at it on its own. And in that roadmap of trying to figure out, are we a Pan-African player? Is a South African market where we think our, you know, our low-hanging fruit are going to be? It's a whole lot of conversations that they need to have, and it doesn't help that the people that should be having these conversations don't seem to be in the job long enough for them to decide the strategy direction, define it, and then embark on it, and then stick to it until obviously it comes a time where it is due for a refresh.
Interesting times when we do take a look at, potential for future leadership to be appointed here. Charles Russon having been appointed as the interim CEO of Absa. Following Maria Ramos's resignation or retirement in 2019, Daniel Minnelli came in, Jason Quinn stood in, Ari Reutenbach came in, and I believe I'm missing a name in terms of what also happened in between there. But Charles Russon, interim CEO, of course we understand that there's several aspects of regulatory approval before we do see a permanent CEO, but what's the likelihood of not only him or, I guess, other contenders that could potentially be fit for the job?
René van Wyk was the one other name that was in that mix there. Now, the important thing is that obviously everyone who's in the executive leadership circle of a bank has already been vetted for regulatory purposes. So in the instance where somebody has to step in, then you do not see that being the new burden of regulatory clearance. What also becomes now a key question for Absa is whether it's going to look inside. It has recently done so with Ari. That hasn't worked out. Or if it looks outside, when it did so, it also didn't work out. So it's a remarkably difficult space for the chair of Absa and the board to be in. But unfortunately, that is why they get paid the big bucks, to make these very difficult decisions. So we're going to be observing with keen interest how they decide to embark on this process. But I think what is probably going to have to be different now is that they need to be quite patient in trying to figure out exactly who they're looking for, figuring out whether anyone has the appetite to take on this job and what it is that they need to be able to do differently as the board and as the company in order to make the job appealing to a very good list of candidates. Because if you don't make it appealing, you're probably going to end up in the same position in 2 or 3 years' time.
100%. Kaya Sithole there, independent analyst and chartered accountant, joining us to give us some perspective on the story. Jobe Siyabonga, always appreciate your time on the show this evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.